Blog Talk Radio.
Hello again. Welcome to Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. I am your host, Louis Patron. This show becomes easier and easier to do every week, not because I'm an articulate genius, but rather because we live in a crazy world. Things happen every week that I can't conceive would happen, nor you can conceive would happen, but they do happen, and they give us fodder to talk. If you wish to call in, by the way, during the course of the program and chat with me, the call-in number is 646-478-5731. I repeat, 646-478-5731. The number is on the screen in front of you. I'd like to start tonight with Hillary Clinton. I may step on some toes here. I do not mean to, as I express a feeling, not really even an opinion, just a feeling at this stage. I think Hillary Clinton was the outstanding wife of a president. She was a fantastic United States senator, and she has to have had to be one of the best secretaries of state we have ever had. We are 3 years away, from the next presidential election. Already people are saying Hillary Clinton, Christie, and this one and that one, who's going to be the candidate. But Hillary seems to be already the candidate for the Democratic Party, the designee. And I raise this question, and I only raise the question because things are changing. Our world, and forget the world, I'm sorry, our country, things are changing dramatically in this country. I mean, look, 15, 20 years ago, we had a strong middle class. Today, we have no middle class. We've got the 1% and the 99%. Something's wrong. We've got this whole thing screwed up. And it appears to me, at least, that nothing's happening that's going to diminish the power and the economic success of the 1%. The wealth ain't going to come back to the 99% unless something's done. We're not going to be the way we were. We're not going to have that strong middle class. So what is Lewis saying? Here's what I am saying. Is Hillary the right candidate for president? You know, when she and Bill were in Little Rock, Arkansas, things were different. They were starting out. They were part of the middle class. Today, they're not part of that middle class. They are part of the very affluent class. They are multimillionaires, highly successful people, as they should be. Nothing wrong with it. Hillary had a PAC meeting the other night, 175 of the richest people, corporations represented. They're already packing away millions of dollars for a race that's not going to occur for yet another 3 years. Amazing, isn't it? And these are the bankers that were at this meeting, and these were the heads of major corporations in the United States. This is the economic power block, and right now, they are the power block in the United States because we, the people, doesn't mean too much anymore at this stage in the game. And what I am saying is this, maybe Hillary's on the wrong side. Maybe she's backed by too many of the wrong people. I think we've got to have a leader, because there's changing times, who is within the transition and is in the change. Someone who is going to take on the banks, take on the corporations, and not do what's been going on for the last 10 years in this country, and especially now. The banks are killing us. They're getting richer while the people get poor, and we saved their asses with our tax dollars back in 2008, 2009. It's just not right. Now, there's an Elizabeth Warren out there. I'm not against a woman being president. God bless America. I was glad to see we had a black. I'm glad we're going to have a woman. And maybe we have several women in a row because I think we might have screwed things up and up over the years. There's Elizabeth Warren. She's anti-corporation, anti-banks, and she calls a spade, says the way things are, no screwing around. Both of them are in their mid-60s. I think both are qualified for the position. I will concede Hillary has more experience worldwide. But I just think maybe, and it doesn't have to be Elizabeth Warren, do we need someone else? I'm not saying I'm not going to support Hillary Clinton. I am not saying I support Elizabeth Warren. I'm tossing this out. I want you to think about it. Food for thought. Is she the right one under the circumstances? Okay, now let's talk about the people who are bugging our emails, the people who are bugging our cell phone calls, the people who bug the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, who bugged the President of Brazil, who bugged the President of France, our National Security Agency. And let's talk in general for a moment about this intelligence deal that's going on in the world. Because the whole world's pointing at the United States. You bad boys, you did this, look what you're doing, oh my God. Well, it turns out that everyone does this. Every country sneaks in, listens to the telephone calls of the leaders of another country. It's commonplace. Everyone does it. Everyone has been doing it. Which brings me to what has just occurred or become knowledge this week. Australia. Nice country, Australia. In fact, on my trip to Greece this past summer, I met a woman from Australia who was part of the government there. And they're experiencing in Australia, she told me, great economic success. Things are terrific. Everybody's making money. They didn't lose their middle class. Why, I don't understand, but they're doing good. That's the point I want to make. But she also said they have two political parties, and they're at each other's throats with an aggressiveness the same as we have in the United States, which I found interesting. Well, let me tell you about good old Australia. It was discovered that they were bugging somebody. It turns out the world's largest mining company is called BHP Billiton. BHP Billiton, no question, largest mining company in the world. The government in Australia was bugging telephones, emails, etc. in Japan of the Japanese government. Because this company, this large company, BHP, that's an Australian company based in Australia, was in heavy negotiation with Japan over trade deals. So the government of Australia, on behalf of one of their companies, their industries, bugs the Japanese government. And they blame us. They point the finger at us. Then there was an article I read this week that said most of the intelligence bugging being done, most of the monitoring, most of the telephone monitoring, most of the email monitoring, the target is business information. This includes the United States, not just security. Business information to share with our industries. The main target agencies is our businesses, foreign businesses. That's another interesting thing, which brings me now to the National Security Agency. I want to talk about Angela Merkel, Chancellor of Germany. Let me say first, I think the NSA, our intelligence group in the United States, is bugging too much. It cannot be justified. They took in 1 month in Italy recently, they tapped 46 million telephone calls. What are they going to do with 46 million telephone calls in 1 month, one country? How can you put all this stuff together? My God, we can't come up with a computer to run Obamacare. They must have a fantastic computer to separate and sort all this. Anyhow, I think our agency's out of control. I do think it's un-American, the extent to which they have gone. I do not believe Obama's going to rein it in. He is happy with this. But we're giving something away, my friends. We're giving away a piece of our freedom under the guise of we don't want another 9/11. Well, it could happen. It may happen, and this stuff will not help at all right? We can't keep giving up freedoms. We're giving up a freedom every time they're permitted to tap a telephone call the way they do or to check on our emails as they do. Look, they even tapped the Pope, the new Pope, Pope Francis. Then we find out they had the conclave that elected him bugged, and we find out that they also bugged the former Pope Benedict. They bugged the Vatican Bank recently, which I can understand because the Vatican Bank has been making bad investments. They're doing they're cleansing money, whatever that term is. It skips me for the moment. And we spy on our allies. And as I said, everyone spies on everyone else. It's the way of the world. It was this way in the Middle Ages. It was this way before the Middle Ages. So why the hell is everybody getting excited? Especially Merkel, because I don't like her. I don't think she's a good woman. I think she's a troublemaker, and we have to watch out for her, and here's why. She knew as early as July her phones were tapped. She laughed at it when a reporter asked her about it. Now she's all inflamed the last couple of weeks. My cell phone, like she was having a clandestine relationship with someone. My cell phone. Well, let me tell you about this woman, things people don't know. She's a tough lady. She's as tough as Putin. You heard me. She's as tough as Putin. Angela Merkel was raised in communist East Germany. Communist East Germany. She was educated in communist East Germany. When Soviet domination of Germany fell, I think it was 1989-1990, and it became the free East Germany. She was already in politics, and she stayed in politics, and she grew and grew until today. She's chancellor. She is a big woman, no question about it. Well, let me tell you what she's accomplished as chancellor of Germany. And remember, there was another chancellor, too, by the name of Hitler. I'm not saying she's an Adolf Hitler, but she's got that disposition. She's got that personality. First thing she did was she pushed the euro 15, 16 years ago because it was going to be good for all of Europe, she said. Everyone's going to benefit. We're all going to get rich. Well, the only country that got rich was Germany. They were in good shape. They put all their money in it, loaned it to the other countries. The other countries can't pay back, and now Germany's beating them up. Merkel won't give an inch, won't extend payment plans, lower interest or anything else. Not a very good neighbor. Now she wants a European army. They talked about this when they entered into the Euro Union, the Euro dollar. They were going to have a European army someday. They never have yet. And she's saying it is time for the European army. One army, not Germany, Spain, Italy. We all get together, the Euro nation, all 17 countries, I think, and we're going to have one army. And do you know what she says? She says that Germany must be in charge of the Air Force and the Navy. Germany must be in charge of the Air Force and the Navy. I mean, she's going to do a number on those countries. I don't think they're going to go along with it. They're not crazy. They've seen what she did with the euro. She'll kill them militarily if this is permitted. And let's go back again to the cell phone. She knew about it in August. So now she says she wants an apology from the United States. She wants a personal apology from President Obama. And she has the audacity to send her high-level German intelligence people to Washington to discuss this with our government. Then, about a week later, we hear she sent her intelligence team also to Moscow to speak with Edward Snowden, the guy who stole everything and has created this exposure. All right. This is a tough lady. I admire her toughness, but I don't think her head's screwed on straight. I think she's a bully in skirts, a troublemaker, and we have to watch out for her. All right, before I go on to my next topic, which is going to involve Veterans Day, I want to tell you my book's finally coming out, the book I wrote. I'm all excited. This may be the week that was. As you're aware, I wrote a book called The World Upside Down. The World Upside Down, essays by Louis Patron or Key West Lou, whichever way you want to look at me. I've done probably 30 essays on different facets of public items, life, history over the last several years, and I just left them sitting in the computer. I finally decided, let me take 30 of the best and put them into book form, which I did. And I labeled it The World Upside Down because the world is upside down. Everything's crazy. It originally was only going to be a small e-book thing. It has now grown. The publisher liked the book. It is now going to come out at a higher price for the e-book, and it's coming out in book form, soft cover book form. It's going to be on places like Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I'm not sure of the exact publication date. I'm told it may be this Friday, but on the other hand, it may be Monday. All I know is when I know, you will know, and if you're interested, read the book. I mean, you buy the book, obviously, but read it. It's good stuff. I guarantee you will enjoy it. Some is fun. Some of the essays are funny. Some are very sad. Some just talk about life the way it is. No blindfolds. And, of course, I'm very opinionated in the thing. And if you enjoy my comments, you'll enjoy reading the book. Okay, moving on. This was Veterans Day Monday this week. Yesterday was Veterans Day. Let me tell you something about Veterans Day, and we're going to get now into food stamps again indirectly. 40% of the New York City veterans, 40% of the New York City veterans, which amounts to about 95,000 veterans, rely on soup kitchens and pantries. You heard me. They're on food stamps, or they go to food kitchens and pantries. They don't have enough money to buy food. 95% of the veterans living in New York City, the city that has the largest Veterans Day parade, the largest parade honoring veterans, when almost half of them, they didn't march. They were hiding someplace. They can't afford to eat. They can't look too good. I don't know. And here's what Obama says, you know, he wants to keep SNAP going. He doesn't want to touch the food stamps. Yet he did something that affected the food stamps. See, I supported Obama. I'm starting to get disillusioned. I've got to be honest. He seems to not be strong enough all of a sudden in his second term. Things aren't working right. So what am I saying here? In 2010, do you remember that his wife, Michelle Obama, says, you know, the kids are getting too fat in this country? And she said she had a movement, an anti-obesity program. It was a Healthy Hunger for Free Kids Act that came out of this. Legislation saying we've got to take care of the kids and put out proper food so they don't eat foods that make them fat because we got an obesity epidemic. Absolutely correct. She was right. The only trouble was, to fund this, Obama, and he admitted it at the time, that he had to take money from other programs, took a chunk of dough out of the food stamps. He himself set the course of conduct that's occurring today. He took a chunk of dough out of the food stamps. What did this mean? And you've got to understand, these were for lunches. The only place we could control, the government could control what the kids ate, was school lunches. As it turned out, the whole program's a failure. The lunches stunk. The kids said they tasted like vomit. I'm not making this up. And no one ate them. So the program's a failure. But what did it do? 76 million meals immediately vanished from New York City. 76 million meals for the poor. Meals financed by the money they took away from food stamps to finance this anti-obesity program, 76 meals vanished. And it turned out to be, you know, we're either going to let the kids eat good for dinner or we're going to have them eat good for lunch. So we came up with the luncheon program, which sucked, and I don't even know if it's operating anymore. And they didn't get their dinner right. It screwed up. Obama cheated here, too. That's what the man's trying to say. I think the kids would have been better off to have stayed fat. At least they were happy. They were eating rather than not eating the lunches. Okay, now I want to talk about Venezuela. I love this country, Venezuela. They're becoming the joke of this part of our century. Under Hugo Chavez, that this country was supposed to hate, Venezuela prospered. They had problems, but they prospered. He nationalized everything, the foreign corporations, the banks. He said, screw you guys, get the hell out. The government of Venezuela is going to take it all, these industries over, these banks over, and the money's going to be for the Venezuelan people, not for outsiders. Smart move, this guy. And I'm not a socialist, but this was brilliant. His people prospered. He even gave him a check. They got a check every week or every month, every citizen. All right? Chavez did good. Now he's dead. And you've got a new president by the name of Maduro. He's not doing too well. He's coming up for election also in 6 months. You recall, for the past year, I've been telling you repeatedly that Venezuela has a serious shortage of a necessary commodity, toilet paper. They have had and continue to have a shortage of toilet paper. A woman said, I read in an article, I got one roll after 2 weeks. It was like dying and going to heaven. These people are living without toilet paper. That has to be hard. That has to be difficult. Now, they can't buy anything. Inflation is skyrocketed. Under this Maduro, I think he's been in 3 years. Every year, for three consecutive years, inflation has increased at the same number, 54% a year. So people can't buy appliances, they can't buy clothes, they can't buy shoes, they can't buy toys, they can't buy hardware, they can't buy automobiles. They got no money for nothing because everything's too expensive. So Maduro has done two things recently, and you got to respect the guy for this. First, they have a cabinet. He has a cabinet. They call it ministries. He started recently, this past month, a ministry of supreme happiness. You heard me. A ministry of supreme happiness, whose job is to make everyone feel good. He's going to BS his people. That's all this is. This past week, because he wanted to control the price of goods being sold in stores, he sent into the stores military troops, the Venezuelan army. They went into the grocery stores, the appliance stores, the clothes stores, the shoe stores, the toy stores, the hardware stores, and the automobile dealerships, and they set the price, and they made sure these stores stayed open and sold the goods at the price which Maduro and the government had set. They got problems in Venezuela. That's all I can say. They have got problems. They got problems big time. I think this guy's out on his ass in 6 months. He's done a lousy job, and he followed Chavez. I don't understand how he could do a poor job. They still have all that oil. You know what else they have a shortage of? They keep having electric power outages. It is impossible to have electric power outages if you've got all the oil they have. It keeps everything running, so the power's there. The grids are there to make the electric power. Okay, now we're going on to, what am I going to talk about next year? I got so many things. I want to talk about General Motors. I'm not going to be nice. I'm not going to be nice to our government either. I want to talk about General Motors. You recall, we bailed them out with TARP funds, taxpayer dollars, after the recession started. The banks were going to go under. The major car companies were going to go under. One of the car companies that we bailed out was General Motors. They would have been out of business, or they would have been bankrupt or what have you. The United States government, our taxpayer dollars, we gave them $50 billion. $50 billion. In return, General Motors gave us preferred stock in their company. At one time, we owned, I don't know, 60, almost 61% of the company in the United States. Well, they have been paying us back. We've been, you know, selling back the stock to them, and they pay us. What bothers me is we gave them $50 billion. I would assume we're going to make a profit on that money. Not only do we keep them in business, and they're making a lot of money now, as I'm going to show you, and we should make a profit on the investment. Or our people in Washington made a lousy deal, which they did, and we're going to get screwed again. Well, it turns out the economists have now projected, because they paid back all this money except 7%, 7.3%, that the loss to the United States on the deal is going to be $9.7 billion. We made a lousy investment. We saved the company, but we made no money. Nobody does business that way. Now, let's talk about another facet of General Motors. I talked about this 2 years ago. I talked about this a year ago. General Motors is big in Mexico. They've been building plants in Mexico for years, taking jobs out of the United States and making cars down there that they sell in the United States and all over the world. Well, last June, the government of Mexico, not General Motors, this was cute, it's like a sneaky thing. The government of Mexico announced that General Motors was investing another $691 million. $691 million in Mexico, and a good chunk of it was going to go to build a new plant in Mexico, not in the United States. This is last June, my friends, this was announced. After we bailed their asses out, General Motors is going to build a plant in Mexico, a new plant, and take more jobs out of the United States. Now, let me add to this whole thing. They don't pay any taxes, General Motors. They haven't paid taxes in the last 3, 4, 5 years. At first, I thought they must have very smart, you know, tax experts, tax attorneys, and they know how to beat the system. But that's not really the case. Let me say first, they may not have paid any taxes in the United States, but last year they paid $268 million worldwide, but not here. Why not? Turns out that when our people in Washington, our elected leaders and representatives, made the deal with General Motors to give them the $50 billion to bail them out, in the agreement, there is something to the effect, and I'm simplifying it, that General Motors won't have to pay taxes for years. And that's what's happening. We saved their asses from bankruptcy. We gave them the TARP benefit, and they do not have to pay taxes for years. I can't blame them for taking that part of the deal. I blame our elected officials for permitting this to go through. And who controls the money in the United States? The House of Representatives. Always keep that in mind. Okay, now I want to chat a little bit about the Philippines. Terrible tragedy this week. It seems every year last year we had Sandy Hook, New Jersey, and parts of New York City got hit with that hurricane. Now we have this typhoon in the Philippines. Understand, these storms are called hurricanes in the Atlantic. When they happen in the Pacific, they're called typhoons. They're one and the same. Well, they got hit with, they thought it was going to be a Category 5. It was a Category 4, close to a 5. You see that over 10,000 people dead already, they figure. You see the everything's down. Their total cities, village, a city of 200,000 is leveled, I saw on TV tonight. Why? We all know these people have to be helped and everything else. My concern is this. Why does this happen? The experts keep telling us global warming. That's why we have these increased and bigger storms, and we do nothing about it because the corporations in this country don't want to redo their systems to operate with something that won't send the emissions up in the air to contribute to global warming. And so these storms are going to get bigger and bigger and worse. When are we going to learn? That's my show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you will return next week. In the meantime, keep an eye out for my book, The World Upside Down. Again, it'll be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, on the Internet. I don't know where else it can be bought through that. You will love it. I talk about everything in there. I enjoy doing it, and I want to share the contents with you. Thank you for joining me again this week. I look forward to visiting with you again next week. Good night.